today's the 4th of July. We should be outside having fun, but instead we're bringing you the news in real time because...
In real time.
Objectively, the greatest day in any year on the planet Earth.
2018. It's 2018. Was that your way of telling me I forgot to say the year?
No, I'm saying every year since 1776, this has been the greatest day of the year on the entire planet. Everybody agrees.
I think the Founding Fathers literally said that we would be celebrating this day with fireworks, like, since 1776. But people keep doing dumb stuff with fireworks, and I fear one day they're going to be outlawed.
I'm not doing anything for 4th of July.
All the cool ones already are. But they should never be, because our national anthem has bombs and rockets in it. That's who we are.
USA! USA!
Apple and Samsung have declared peace in the biggest modern tech patent fight yet. So, Apple and Samsung have been suing each other since time immemorial. There are multiple lawsuits. I think Samsung has lost two lawsuits to the tune of like $1 billion and then like a couple hundred million.
Well, they had it cut down. It was like $1 billion and then they revised it down.
It's like $400 million now and $100 million. And some of that Samsung's already paid. So, Apple and Samsung have decided to call it peace and they've dropped their mutual lawsuits against each other.
I'm sure they settled some of that money though.
Yeah.
You think that they swapped daughters like daughter and my son?
Can you imagine the Apple daughter? That would be a tough marriage. A tough, the prince would really have to bite the bullet there.
I'm picturing like the most basic person ever. Like yoga pants, just boots.
Yeah, but she would look good. But there'd be nothing upstairs.
There come the downvotes really early in this episode.
But they talk about how, you know, I think Apple is kind of like, all right, Samsung, our houses have been at war for 1,000 years. But the true enemy, Qualcomm, is, you know, it's beyond the wall. And soon they will come.
I'm sure that we will have lots and lots of follow-ups on this story, so... fun.
We will break the truce first.
It's finally coming to the attention of normies that AT&T has bogus fees on the bills. So AT&T is screwing customers by almost tripling a bogus fee is the headline on this article from Android Police. Does this really surprise anybody that there are bogus fees in the first place on your bill?
It was 97 cents. Or was it? No, it was 54 cents. And now it's a dollar something, right?
Yeah.
But $1.23. It went up $1.23. So that is a very small amount of money. Most people probably wouldn't notice that. And I think that's the idea.
Is that just slowly move it up over and over?
Well, they didn't do it slowly. They did it once in March and then again just this month.
I'm going to read this from an analyst here. It says, you know, this raise could net almost $1 billion in additional revenue, according to one analyst. This could allow AT&T to finance up to $10 billion in new debt for its ever-expanding media empire. Yes, the FCC regulatory recovery fee on your phone bill for a piece of equipment to service telecommunications from here to there is probably going to go to content production. What is wrong with this picture?
And that's the old tactic of, like, when the gas station sniffers first came out. Like, because gas pumps used to use Wi-Fi to communicate with the actual store. And no one thought that maybe that was a bad idea. So people would just build little sniffers and throw them on the roof, and they'd get all the credit card transactions. And then they'd bill all those people 99 cents a month. But if you get enough of them, that's billions of dollars. So online criminals do that kind of thing.
Exactly the same way that AT&T. But AT&T is going to get away with it, and the criminals are not. So...
I'm not sure if that's a simile or a metaphor. Is it like them or is it them?
Amazon buys PillPack, an online pharmacy, for just under $1 billion. I never thought selling pills online. I mean, didn't they put some guy away for this, for doing that with Bitcoin?
Well,
several, yeah. Well, that was the we just did yesterday, the money laundering story.
How can Amazon do it but not Canadians? I would trust Canadians more than Amazon.
Well, they can do it by... spending billions of dollars and, you know, lobbying the government. I like the name PillPack.
Yeah, I like that too.
Usually, when they're talking about pills, they use the word, like, medication or prescription. They never say pill, because pill is like pill mill.
That's what you pick up, you know, off the sidewalk and you shove down your mouth.
Or you go to somebody's house in a scary part of town to buy pills. You go to the pharmacy to buy medication. But I guess they just really needed a domain name.
Medication pack did not sound good.
MedPack.
That I think id Software has like copyright on that or something.
MedKit is theirs, right?
Oh, MedKit. Okay. Well, there you go. Yeah, PillPack's visionary team has combined a deep pharmacy experience and focus on technology, says Amazon CEO of Worldwide Consumer, Jeff Wilkie.
I don't know if this article covered it, but I've read where a lot of people are like, they're just, it's kind of like Whole Foods. They're just buying these people to get all their licenses and infrastructure. And Amazon is totally going to
just take over
and do their own thing. Yeah, in the medical world. I like how when they did that, they mentioned in that article, the stock prices of all of the online competitors for medicine just tanked. Because they're like, oh God, Amazon's getting in this business.
You mean I can bail buy out. Pills offline?
Yeah, everybody just run away.
I mean, you can technically buy some pills online already, but I wonder, like, can I get the good stuff? Can I get antibiotics from my prepper kit?
I cannot imagine. Can you, I mean, what kind of armored van would you need to deliver OxyContin in this area?
Yeah.
I'm thinking of some movies that were very dystopian about that.
This is just a damn Z-Pack, and they just throw it down in the sewer and the fish, you know, drink it up.
Speaking of really horribly dystopian things, Amazon workers facing firing can appeal to a jury of their coworkers. So this is one of those things where it's like, there's a rat problem on an island, so they release some snakes to get rid of the rats, and then there's a snake problem, and then maybe the mongoose is like the next thing. So we're whatever the thing is past mongoose level, because what was it? One of the federal oversight things, like the Federal Labor Board or whatever, reviewed Amazon's hiring and firing practices, and they said, well, Amazon, you're maybe a little too quick to fire workers when there's a problem. You need to give them an opportunity for corrective action. And so now workers in Amazon apparently have a choice of three different things.
Yeah, they can.
I didn't see that.
They can quit on the spot and get a severance package. That's kind of like Deal or No Deal. You know, yeah. It's like, oh,
door number one.
You want to get paid for the next 6 weeks? Go ahead and quit. Or you can be reviewed by a manager panel, judgment panel. Or you can go for the panel of your peers.
Your coworkers will review your work and productivity.
I would love to see a skit about that, where it's like, you know, it's got the models all up with, like, the cases. Which one will you select?
That's basically, yeah. Like, the labor lawyers are saying that's basically how it is. And that is not how we should conduct ourselves with regard to labor law.
But more importantly, it's, you know, the one person here described it as a kangaroo court. Because you go first and you lay out why you think you should stay there. And then they turn off all the cameras and all the equipment and you sit in a room by yourself, probably with the lights off, while the manager, the prosecutor, gives their case, but you're not allowed to hear it. And then they come back with a verdict.
Neat. Definitely sounds really dystopian. Because I don't know. I mean, I guess it's better than just being fired over something minor. But
I wonder, probably it's just lip service, because that business model, they need a very, very, very low functioning employee for a lot of those jobs. You know, I mean, the wristbands and the little tricorder things they carry around that basically do the job, right? You know, you're just meat that's moving those things around. So
how long before Amazon PillPack just prescribes the appropriate pill to shut down the higher cognitive function to make those workers more resilient?
We've decided your unhappiness comes from not having enough Xanax and Adderall in your system. So go ahead. Don't worry about swallowing these pills. The automated ejector is going to come and put it directly into your bloodstream.
And then a year later, it's like, I'll be damned. Billy's the best packer that we've got. He has a laser-like focus on packing those packages.
Here's your Amazon-branded bucket in case you experience any nausea. But don't stop moving.
Then he goes home and he just walks around his living room. He doesn't sleep anymore. He just walks, paces back and forth, filling boxes.
If you've been following this program for a long time, you know that it's been a really bad news for PC security in general and PC hardware. I'm, of course, talking about Meltdown and Spectre and all of their variants and all of the subclasses of things where it's like hyper-threading is not secure anymore and just It's a mess. It's really, it's a terrible mess. Well, bad news, because, you know, browser sandboxing, which is something that we've gotten pretty good at, about, you know, if you can be sure that if you go to a website, that a website is not going to be able to take over your entire computer. Well, I've got some bad news. Changes in WebAssembly could render the Meltdown Inspector browser workarounds useless. And so WebAssembly is a pretty cool, hot new technology that'll let you run JavaScript really quickly and other executable code on the web page really quickly. But because of the hardware flaws, it may be able to see what other apps on your computer are doing, retrieve encryption keys, that sort of thing. That's sort of bad.
Yeah, this is a timing-based thing. So when it first came out for these vulnerabilities, the way they fixed it is they just sort of fuzzed the timing a little bit and wouldn't let JavaScript be that accurate as far as timing. But by introducing the threads, it's going to allow you to use the one thread to observe the other thread in a similar way as the hyper-threading thing. And so WebAssembly has actually had to put that on hold. They can't roll that out because
it's not a complete fix
and Meltdown.
This is going to be a problem that we ultimately fix in hardware. There's not going to be a software workaround that's really going to be acceptable here. And that's, I mean, what a time to be alive. This is, it's one, it's new computer science, but two, I can't believe nobody caught this before. This is like, I don't know, discovering that antibiotics kills people in certain scenarios or something. AT&T removed HBO from an unlimited data plan after buying Time Warner. So again, data is data. Oh wait, it's not. AT&T doesn't want to treat data as data.
No one wants to air HBO this week.
China doesn't. Well, you can still get HBO, but you have to pay more. I think it's $5 more per month for that plan. And here's the best part about this article. And maybe I'm just living under a rock and I didn't know it. When you get the lower tier plan, you don't get HBO, but you do get a package of other channels, including Taylor Swift Now.
Wait, she has a whole channel?
She has a channel.
I didn't know that.
Is it just her videos?
I don't know.
Well,
somebody in the chat is definitely going to let us know.
Yeah, or the comments. My phone's all the way over there, but I really want to like look that up now.
So yeah, you might not get concert to watch footage? Game of Thrones, but you can watch Taylor Swift 24 hours a day.
Look what you made me do.
Yeah, and this is also has to do with those, you know, quote unquote unlimited plans. So there are a variety of unlimited choices. We had a story about that a while back where it's like different levels of limits for the unlimited, and now it's different choices about what packages you get in terms of extra channels and stuff like that.
I would totally watch her videos on group policy and, you know, debugging and securing things and that sort of thing.
Swift on security.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just, this underscored, like this article, like if you are of the opinion that the whole net neutrality, like free market thing is the thing that makes sense, you should probably read this article really carefully, because this is exactly the sort of dystopian stuff. It was really hard to argue the position that data is not data. And if you read this article thinking about data as data, I don't understand how you would come to any other conclusion other than data is data, because there's like 7 different definitions of unlimited here, which is ridiculous.
And all of them have stars underneath them.
Yeah. Google Earth. Google Earth has a new tool that lets you measure the distance and area of anything on the map. So basically point and click. It's like you draw. You would think that there was a way to do this before, but it's like, hey, how far away is this from this? There you go. Oh, what sort of area is this? Oh, this. This sounds like a lot of fun.
I think the coolest feature is it's not just a rectangle for determining area. You can freehand and, you know, make whatever shape you want, and it'll figure out the area. That's cool.
So you should play with that.
It seems like what's that feature for, other than like students, I guess?
House hunting.
Tell us, update us on your house hunt. Tell us how it's going.
It's not going well.
I'm trying to convince Ryan to get a tiny house, and he won't do it. So I can live vicariously through him.
I've been waiting for our next article. It's exciting, but not for any reasonable reason. NVIDIA is looking to gag journalists with a multi-year blanket NDA. That's the headline. This is the NVIDIA NDA. So this is bumpkiss. This is not this NDA is totally, there is nothing wrong with this NDA. It is totally industry standard. Like, people are freaking out saying that you know, NVIDIA is saying, oh my gosh, we can control everything that you say for 5 years. This, no, that's BS. That's utter BS. This is a completely standard NDA. There is nothing wrong with this NDA.
I think Hard OCP has a little bit of a grudge because NVIDIA has shut them out, as they predicted, because they revealed the GPP. They pretty much, they're the ones that ruined the GPP. They were the kittens that pooped in the GPP sandbox and ruined it and let everybody know that the sand was dirty.
You think maybe this NDA thing was like them testing the waters to see, you know, what's going on? Because I think that people complaining about this NDA sort of undermine how insidious the GPP really was. And so I wonder if that was a calculated move on NVIDIA's part.
I don't know. I mean, I think NDAs in any form are garbage. You know, I mean, it shows that how powerful the companies are because people are desperate to use their products for attention.
You know, Gamers Nexus did a video on with a lawyer, an actual, like an IP lawyer, going through the agreement. And I would not have thought that that type of content would be necessary on the internet in this day and age. But I guess some people were making this out to be more than it is. The only thing that I think that people are really latching onto here that's perhaps unresolved is like the whole 5-year term of the NDA. But the reason that's there is, let's say that a company is getting ready to release a product and they seed you and you get the product and you're taking a look at it as a journalist or whatever. But then something happens. Like, let's say Meltdown Inspector, the GPU equivalent of that happens, and they're like, well, you know, even though you guys have prototypes of this, we're going to pull the manufacturing of this until we fix those security vulnerabilities with this product. And that might take a year or two or three, or the product might be canceled for other reasons. So if they never actually release the product to the public, then you would be under that NDA for 5 years. And then at the end of 5 years, you could talk about the product they never released. That's why that clause is there. And so it's not like people freaking out about that. Like, when they release the product, then you don't have any information that's under NDA, so what's the big deal? But if they never actually release the product, then that would still be under NDA. And that's happened before. I mean, Intel did that with their graphics cards. You know, they actually ceded graphics cards to people, and then they were like, you know what, we're canceling this product, because Intel's schizophrenic like that. So that's when that type of clause would apply in those scenarios. So I just, why would people freak out about this? Like, the internet is amazing because we can do this wonderful, awesome stuff collectively, but sometimes we just get like an earwig in our ear and we go crazy.
Some like, people who aren't Americans and don't know what an earwig is are like, what? Google it. Google those things.
It's a carnivorous earwig that crawled in my brain through my ear. Why? Kind of like Microsoft. Microsoft is... oh, Microsoft. They're doing this stream to win thing. They're also doing... what was the name of this service? Mixer. Yeah, so Microsoft really wants in this whole like Twitch thing, so they're like, hey, let's do this with our...
Let's start streaming, but...
Not only are they late to the party, they're literally arriving after most of the guests have already gone home.
Well, it's Twitch is kind of the monster there. YouTube tried to do the same thing with YouTube Gaming, and I don't think it was ever very successful.
No.
Well, the story here is, this is going to be Forza 4, is it? Yeah, Forza 4 is going to be the first game to reward you for streaming. At least to Mixer. They're not sure if any other services are going to get that. But because your Xbox has Mixer built in, you can fire up Forza, you can start streaming, and you will get some kind of DLC type in-game content for doing so.
Some sort of skin.
Did you guys get paid? I did the Bing thing. Remember Bing? It was like you can get paid to do searches on Bing. I totally did that, and I got some gift cards.
Oh, this is that. I did that.
Yeah,
I mean, in college, because he was desperate for money, so he would just use the search engine all the time.
Yeah, this is that, but for gaming.
Except you don't even get anything tangible from this. You're literally just getting like skins or in-game currency. Well, I bet someone will do it.
But it's kind of like the
get really into it.
You know, the Amazon Prime outfits in PUBG. I don't have any respect for people who have those.
No,
like, you didn't earn that.
You gotta have yellow pants in PUBG. That's the only way to earn respect.
CNN Tech brings us our next article, which is unexpectedly dark the more that you think about it. On the surface, it seems good. Amazon wants you to start a business to deliver its packages.
Look at this guy staring pensively out the window.
Yeah, it's just
he thinks about starting his business.
Is that an airplane? He's waiting for his package.
What is that? Is that something on the horizon? I don't know what
that
is.
I think it's just a dust cloud because the delivery truck is coming.
So if you've got 10 grand and want to be your own boss, Amazon has got a deal for you.
basically they're going to sell you 5 trucks for 10 grand, branded trucks, which I mean, seems like a decent idea. Maybe. With
insurance and the other stuff.
And yeah. their software, which is probably pretty good at finding directions.
I can just sum up this whole article for you. The business owners will be able to make as much as $300,000 a year in profit running a full-size fleet of 40 vans and managing 100 employees. Managing 40 vans and 100 employees, 300 grand, you are going to be at the office 93 hours a week.
Yeah, that sounds also, miserable.
That you're going to hit that number if all of your van drivers are pissing in jugs. Otherwise, that's not going to happen.
Yeah. This is, like, again, the more layers you peel back, the darker this gets. So why does Amazon want to do this? Two reasons. One, our president has been sort of insane saying that the post office is not making enough money off of Amazon when they've demonstrated that they are. So Amazon's worried about that. Two, Uber and things like that, like the ride-sharing services, Uber and those companies are getting dinged saying that those are employees of the company. Amazon can't have that. And so these people will literally need to start their own company to be drivers to avoid making Amazon liable for those types of things. And in most jurisdictions, smaller companies are exempt from a lot of requirements like around insurance and you know, blah, blah, blah. If you had a small delivery company of like 4 or 5 drivers and 4 or 5 drivers all share ownership of the company, you don't have to have things like unemployment insurance because the people actually own the company. That is why Amazon is doing this. It's an end run around employment law, basically.
So basically they can have more piss jugs.
Well, I mean, this might be good. This might be a good job for like veterans and stuff, but I don't know. It seems like this is going to be good for Amazon more than it's good for
the entrepreneur. It sounds kind of like a multi-level marketing kind of thing you see on like Facebook, like make all the money from home.
Jimmy, last year I was just like you. I only had 5 vans, and now look at me. I've got 40 vans, and I live at the office.
I live in one of the vans. I've converted it.
Tor Frink says that Google is downranking 65,000 pirate search results because they're showing up highly ranked in Google search results.
Yeah, it's funny. Content. People seem to like going to those sites.
The content updates regularly?
The algorithm has determined that those sites are popular.
So this is, if you're looking for, like, watch Taylor Swift now. They will not.
You just stream that on YouTube.
Yeah, they will not allow a pirate site to rank higher than a site that could sell you that content. That's the whole idea of that thing. So
how does the algorithm know what a piece of content is?
Couldn't, in theory, those piracy sites be like, here's the link to download it, here's the link to the legit source, and then get around that?
No, because they know, like, if you search for Pirate Bay, for example, yeah, you're still going to the Pirate Bay. You have to search for the content itself. So Google knows who the creator of that content, like who the quote-unquote legitimate people are versus other download links.
Spooky. Voices of millions of UK taxpayers have been stored by HMRC, so Her Majesty's Revenue and Customs, like the tax authority. The voice ID system has collected 5.1 million audio signatures and it accuses the thing of biometric ID cards by the back door. So it wants to incorporate, they want to add the voice IDs to like that national biometric database or whatever, or maybe not. Maybe they just want to use it for tax payment. But either way, this was done surreptitiously.
Maybe Her Majesty just wants to listen to the voices of her subjects.
Well, this is, I don't know. This could be, they could be telling the truth. I don't want to fall on their side by default, but this is sort of like a password thing. So you can call them up and you can repeat a sentence in your voice, and that becomes your password. So if you're, you know, you're not good at remembering PIN numbers or passwords. I mean, when you fill out your taxes, you got to do that PIN thing, and that's like every year. I don't understand that at all. Do you? And
it's like, that's why I pay to get my taxes done.
Yeah, yeah. H&R Block just does it for you. But if I had to do that on paper, Jesus. So this thing is just like, hey, listen, moron. Just read this sentence, and from now on, just say the same sentence when you call in. We'll let you in. But I wonder how much, like, how fuzzy can this get? What if you have the flu? And your voice is different.
It does. Or
what if you've been visiting your parents for a few days and your Eastern Kentucky came back?
Or you get kicked in the throat.
Or you're just, you know, a scammer calls over and over and over again to try to, like, get your stuff.
What if, force it.
You know, what if you're, you know, like a Michael Caine impersonator and you call, could you get Michael Caine's taxes? Is that a thing?
That would be a great way to validate your impressions. Now, the other thing that, to keep in mind here is... they are, in tandem with this, working on that biometric database, which includes voice. So,
is that a coincidence?
That's a little suspicious.
Smart home technology becomes the newest tool of domestic abusers.
Like it's, you can just imagine, you know, these helpless housewives. I'm surprised nobody's made a movie about this yet.
Oh, they have, actually. It's on Netflix. It's called Tao.
Oh, that's one you were talking about earlier.
Does it, see, like, just like, Alexa, call her stupid.
No, no.
No.
It's, so what'll happen is, like, there'll be an abusive man, and he'll get thrown out of the house.
But, all right, I'm turning off the air conditioner.
Bloop. Yeah, he's still got the Nest, and the, you know, the lights, and the alarm system, and he's got everything on his phone as an app. And so he just sits and screws with the woman by changing things constantly. And there are no laws.
That could go either way in either direction for either gender. Couldn't you... I would think you, as soon as you, you know, broke up, that you would change all the usernames and passwords.
Well, see, kind of they point out that there's a lot of, like, Silicon Valley type housewives involved here who are sort of kept women and rich. But
so they don't really understand
how, you know, maybe not the brightest. Maybe some trophy wives involved. And they have no idea how anything is set up.
It's also not super easy to unenroll devices from stuff like this sometimes. Like, it's like, I need to divorce this account from this phone or whatever. There's not necessarily a straightforward way to do that in all cases.
And they also talk about how she'll call the cops or, you know, some sort of emergency line, and they'll show up, but what can they do? They don't understand what's going on, so they're just like, well, you know.
Wouldn't that be like harassment, I guess?
Well, they're talking nebulous. They're talking about making laws, but there are currently not any laws.
I don't think the police would be able to figure out if it is it domestic abuse or is it, you know, somebody in Russia mining cryptocurrency on the Nest. I mean, you don't know.
Yeah. That's, I think the answer to this question, as is often the case, is don't do Internet of Things.
Yep.
Or, yeah, no. Internet of, if only somebody would do Internet of Things where it had a stupid fallback, where it's like, it's not on the internet anymore, it still functions as a toaster or a thermostat or whatever.
That'll never happen.
Technology launching this week, security-wise. Wi-Fi Alliance has launched WPA3. What do you need to know about WPA3? Well, it's WPA2 with some much-needed improvements. And some algorithmic improvements as well.
192-bit now, and they've got... it's mostly just security fixes for keeping people from hijacking it in various ways that were easy with WPA2.
Yeah, there were some things WPA2 that were not encrypted that were not necessarily sensitive, but clever people figured out ways to exploit that. It's also true that WPA2 Enterprise might have been a dumpster fire, and that's been improved with WPA3 Enterprise.
But I think it's, what, 2020?
Yeah.
So, not coming soon. Soonish.
Well, 2 years from now.
It'd be nice. Every Android device since 2012 is impacted by the Rampage vulnerability. So this is sort of like Rowhammer, if you've heard of the Rowhammer attack, but it's available on Android devices now, so you can break out of the sandbox, which is most applications on Android run in a sandbox to begin with, so this is actually kind of a big deal.
Yeah, and this is... everything since 2012 is vulnerable to this, and there's not a good way to fix it. So, this is another one of those that you should be paranoid about it, but you're helpless. So just swim in your paranoia.
I think the vulnerability actually exists with DDR2, 3, and 4 memory. So, unless you've got an Android phone that has error-correcting memory, you're probably boned. Can't wait for malware that actually exploits this. That's not just proof of concept
but
malware.
But yeah, it is. It's a little tricky to do. It can't be easy because you have to observe when you're getting the result that you want. And that's a very specific result that you're trying to get. by modifying the magnetic field. So it would be a high level. I think probably this is going to be more like, you know, the NSA is going to be building this software, not, you know, Vlad.
We're not keeping out Gray Key. Is that what you're telling me?
Vlad the crypto miner might not have this level of sophistication. Vlad
the memory row impaler. Swan, do you have a home security camera from Swan? I've got some bad news. Their camera sent video to the wrong user. They said this was just a one-off event and that was totally fine, and you know.
Well, it actually happened twice.
Yeah.
But here's the thing.
It was actually a lie.
They claim, and this is bad enough. These I guess are hard-coded with some sort of ID, like a MAC address or something. I don't know exactly what the ID is, but it's in the hardware. And they're like, "Oops. You know, in the factory, we made two that were duplicate by accident. But that's only happened once. How is that possible? It's going to happen a bunch of times." And
twice. It's only happened twice.
And this other guy found it. But the bigger question is, like, how would... There's got to be a user and a password there, right? So somehow it doesn't try to match the hardware ID with the username and password. It seems like you could still differentiate.
I like how stuff like this is built such that it's like this thing has to go all the way across the internet and back before it's functional. And it's like, but things like video cameras, would it be crazy to just record and store the video locally proximal to the camera and then use those kind of like unique device IDs and like password recovery functions? Would that be so wrong? Would that be a poor way to architect the system? I don't think you need to send this all the way over the internet and back.
But if you do it that way, then you don't have control anymore.
The company would not have control, yes.
That's what I'm saying. That's why they don't do that.
That would be a good selling point, though.
Because remember the garage door opener? And the guy was just like, oh, you don't like us? Well, guess what? Your garage door opener doesn't work anymore because it has to go over the internet through our server.
Speaking of things that are on the internet and have no business, a marketing firm, Extractus, leaked a personal info database with 340 million records. So, yeah. Here's a piece of advice for you. Marketing firms generally don't have anybody work in security, and the people that are working security mostly are ignored. So yeah, 340 million records leaked onto the internet. This is from an Elasticsearch database from Florida. So it seems like this database with pretty much every U.S. citizen in it.
And
nice.
They also talk about how deep this marketing database was. What was it, like 400 variables. 400 things this thing knows about you.
That sounds like something marketing firms would dream up, though.
Yeah, I don't know 400 things about myself.
I need to know what lipstick color this person wears.
It seems to go that deep.
All of us are recoiling in horror. The people that actually work for marketing firms are like, maybe I could download a copy of this and use this in my firm, since it's leaked anyway.
Yeah. And that's basically...
Can I upload it back to Amazon?
Basically the entire U.S. population. They knew about... Like, how do they know things about people who... There got to be some outliers who aren't on the internet. But somehow they figured out something about them.
If you combined, like, retailer databases and that sort of thing, it's a shockingly small number of large national and multinational companies that are handling data for companies like Walmart and Target. And very few companies have not let their data out. I think Kroger is one company I can think of that's not really partnered with any of these third-party firms, and eventually that data is going to be aggregated in some way, and that's just what Exactus has done.
Also, what they've all got to have that like Latin flavor, Securus, Exactus,
Cerberus.
It's so cringy.
This is going to be something that we report on several times, I'm sure. So we're not really going super into detail here, but these types of leaks may represent a new class of, like we talked about, like the leaky S3 buckets. This type of leak through Elasticsearch may be something that we see more of in the future, because there's a lot more data that's stored behind Elasticsearch, and a lot of people are using Elasticsearch for site searching because it's really very good. And normally you want to only feed Elasticsearch with information that was already public to begin with, but a lot of people miss that memo. So... Hundreds of hotels are affected by a data breach at the hotel booking software provider. Were they using Elasticsearch? But yeah, so if you've used a hotel booking provider here.
Well, this was the software itself was flawed, and this guy found a way in. And once he found out got malware on that system, he could access all of the various hotels themselves. And got away with a lot of... It's funny because it seemed like they had different levels of security. Some he got credit card details from, some he didn't.
The timeline on this I thought was pretty interesting. And this is pretty typical, I think. The intruder has, you know, breached the booking system, and then Fastbook noticed, you know, 5 days later. That's pretty typical. And yeah. 5 days later is like the horses. Not only have the horses escaped, most of them have broken their legs, and one of the bodies washed downriver, which is how you knew that the horses had escaped.
There was a lot of these in Japan for whatever. It was a French company that made the software, but I guess Japan was using a lot of the software, and a lot of people lost their credit card details.
In the same vein as the Elasticsearch thing, but probably not with Elasticsearch, betting giant BetVictor leaked all of its own internal systems passwords. How did they do that? They uploaded an internal document with the passwords to their internal systems to their help document system. Their internal knowledge base was on the internet as a publicly accessible knowledge base filled with answers to things.
This was one of those...
What's the password to this?
Yeah,
it was lit. And not only the usernames and passwords, but they had the URL there too, just in case.
Yeah.
So, you know. I don't think anybody got malicious access to this. Some researcher found it. And so...
11 passwords in a pwned passwords data set offered by Troy Hunt's Have I Been Pwned? Which, if you haven't seen Have I Been Pwned, it's nice. Sorry. What were you going to say?
All
right. Yeah. It's a lot of security stories this week.
There's so many leaks. There's so many leaks.
Just a leaky bucket in here. It actually might be a leaky bucket in here because I don't know if you guys can hear it, but there's actually quite a bit of thunder going over top.
And rain,
yeah. I've been trying not to pay attention. I want to rush out and look at it, but...
Ticketmaster admits personal data has been stolen in hack attack. So this one is rogue JavaScript. So yeah, this one's exciting.
Well, this was one of those... live chat services, and you're not supposed to run that on your actual payment gateway, and nobody told Ticketmaster that, I guess. At least that's their excuse. One thing we should mention, I don't think we preempted, this was the leak block. It was like 6 or 7 leaks in a row. Every story, the common thread is the word or the phrase third party. No one blames themselves. It's always third party,
yeah.
And they're always passing the buck. If you're dealing with a third party, maybe be aware of that.
Well, I can't. I mean, having worked on a lot of projects, this on the payment gateway page, like when somebody is actually entering credit card details, you are not supposed to have any third party JavaScript at all.
Oh, well, that's the third party's response was, what kind of moron put JavaScript on the payment gateway that access to a third party site? That's like day one security. You don't do that.
Oh, well, I mean, I can, there are tons of instances I can think of where it's like, I've been directly ordered against my express objections to like, no, we need this tracking script on every page, even the payment gateway page, because we need to know if they complete the payment. And it's like, well, but if somebody compromises the GTM tag or the analytics tracking software or any of the other stuff, suddenly they can steal credit cards. They're like, yeah, we don't care. Okay. Sounds good.
Guess just we'll go ahead and do that. Just put this in email so that way we have a record of it. I'm make another backup here.
Don't be like Ticketmaster. Don't put crap like, you know, GTM tags and chat scripts and crap like that on your payment page. Don't do that. You should know better than
the
that.
The live chat trend, let's talk about that for a second. That's not something that people... It's 2018. If you design a decent navigation, most people don't need a live chat.
Unless they're elderly.
Yes, and you think there's a lot of people on Ticketmaster who are like 80 years old going to like a Lynyrd Skynyrd concert? Like,
well, there's old people events.
Like?
Old people are way into certain kinds of live shows, right? I mean, because a lot of those bands are still out there. And like with the Temptations, I think they're all dead, but there's still a Temptations. They're out there touring.
Wait, really?
I don't know if it's them exactly, but yeah, a lot of those, there might be like one surviving member that they roll out on the stage for 5 minutes in the beginning and then a new crowd of people come out.
That'd be like the most down-tempo crowd to play to, too.
I saw that. There was like a major production of Rocky Horror and they rolled Tim Curry out for the start of it and it was so sad. Why did you make me think of that? That's depressing.
Now you can go stare out the window at the rain and think about that.
There's been another massive leak of law enforcement personnel data. So this is, many police departments are unable to respond in an active shooter situation, according to this data set. So this federally funded active shooter training center has exposed the personal details of thousands of U.S. law enforcement officials.
Yeah, this was a training program. When they figured out that you don't have an active shooter answer in your area, then they would give you this database. It's like, well, here's who you can call, and put together like a, you know,
a task force,
an ad hoc SWAT team for an active shooter. And here's everybody's level of training. Here's their cell phone number and blah, blah, blah.
Don't upload that to Dropbox.
Yeah, just, so that got out.
Pro law enforcement tip. Don't post that on the internet or like Facebook and be like, we got this database. Anybody need anybody from it? It's like, Have you recently gotten a pop-up or software on your computer that says all radio 4.27 portable? Bad news. You're going to have to reformat. And that's because your computer basically is Typhoid Mary. And that's only the latest symptom.
You've got a rootkit. I don't know if reformatting is going to fix it. You got serious, serious, serious issues. Although they did admit that almost everybody who complained about this had downloaded OS activation cracks or game cracks. So you knew what you were getting into.
Well,
swimming those waters.
When did the scene get so polluted with these posers? This is just terrible. It does a lot of really crazy stuff too. If the malware that monitors the clipboard detects a cryptocurrency address goes to the clipboard, it's replaced with another cryptocurrency address under their control. So like if you need to send somebody some crypto, you're going to send, and you just copy paste, you're not paying attention, you're going to end up sending the crypto to the wrong people. That's pretty insidious. I mean, there's like a million things here that's just terrible. So, yeah.
Our viewers would never get hit with that, though, right?
Security flaws disclosed in LTE. So this is your cell phone. Basically, if you're, you know, China or Russia or something, this is the keys to LTE. You can take over LTE devices, like Stingray devices, that kind of thing. You can intercept web pages and do all sorts of stuff, even, you know, sort of defeating the encryption. Not the encryption of the web page, but the encryption of the LTE standard by doing this. So this is not available to individuals or end users, but people that could afford to do this can totally do this. So, look. Redirect users to malicious websites. Why?
Why? You know why.
Oh, it's not feasible in the real world. But it kind of is, though. I mean...
missed that part of the article.
If you look around D.C., it's... there's a lot of, like, Stingray-type devices around Washington, D.C., and not all of them are run by our law enforcement agencies. Seems like a problem.
So many. This is the last one. If it loads. Oh, there it goes. This one's actually kind of interesting.
Thousands of Uber drivers are complaining they're not being paid.
There's only three official instances, but there are claims that this has happened a lot more times.
So apparently con artists are getting a hold of Uber drivers' contact info, and then they're calling, posing as Uber. They're calling the drivers posing as Uber, getting the drivers to give them their password and also a PIN number or something sent via text message, and then they take over their account.
Verification notice.
Change their payment details to be the attacker's account, and people don't notice for a week or two.
Yeah, because they get paid every Sunday, so like most people just wait till the Sunday, and then they realize, oh, I didn't get paid, and then oh, I can't get into my Uber account, and oh. Which I was thinking, I don't know, I've never driven for Uber. Maybe someone can tell us in the comments. How often does Uber call you? It seems like everything would be done through the app.
Yeah, I don't think... They're certainly not going to ask you your password.
Yeah.
So, friendly reminder, if somebody's asking you for your password, it's probably a scam. You think Uber... I mean, Facebook and other stuff like that says that to you a lot in the messaging, like, we will never ask you for your password. We will reset your password, but we will never ask you for your password. You think Uber has that? I think they're going to have that after
this
change?
They'll probably add it, yeah, somewhere in the UX.
It's so easy to scam people with technology. It's really disappointing.
Well, I think what gets them is... You say they find out your information somehow. Well, they got your phone number because Uber facilitates that.
Yeah.
So they know your phone number. They know the address you're going to because they just set it up. And they know, and they say, oh, we need to cancel this ride. The scam is they're like, hey, we need to cancel this ride because it's a handicapped person and your vehicle is not equipped for that. So you need to give us your information so we can clear all this up in the system. So you don't get penalized for never picking this person up. I think that's what gets them.
Scammers. It's like the IRS. Like, you will be arrested unless you give us all your info right now.
There's a warrant for your arrest.
Because drivers aren't suckers.
They totally call you when there's a warrant for your arrest.
What have we got to look forward to for Friday?
Lots of nonsense.
We've got hardware news on Friday and science and robots. And there is so much nonsense this week.
There's nonsense and there's quite a few AI stories as well.
It was really tempting to put all the leak stories in as nonsense because, I mean, there's not really a lot going on technology-wise this summer because it's summer and everybody's outside doing stuff. But good Lord, the data leaks. It's crazy.
We should have just done a rapid fire of that. Just, here's all the people who had leaks this week. Done.
Anybody that's working in web development or anything, I could hear their sphincters pucker over the internet.
You could hear it?
Yeah, they're going to be making some serious change. I mean, it was so bad. They're going to be making some changes right now. People are already, it's like, oh, you know what? It's probably a good idea for me to remove those trackers from the payment pages. I can hear it.
I'm glad you can hear it, because I don't think it's going to happen.
We're going to be reporting on it next week.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. All right. See you next week.
Bye.
I mean, Friday. Friday is not next week.
Bye.